Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, starting with the fifth verse. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, As the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but As the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin on the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, starting with the 8th verse. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Christ's mercy and peace be yours, through our Lord and Savior
Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are. Where has this year gone? You know, just a couple of days ago, we were filling ourselves up with our Thanksgiving turkey and all of those things and enjoying the time with our families and friends. And here we are. It's the first Sunday of Advent. I don't know about you, but the older that I get, it seems like time just keeps accelerating. The years go by faster and faster, and all those things. How many of you are going to be eating Thanksgiving turkey for at least another week? How many of you may be eating Thanksgiving turkey until maybe Christmas? So, all right. How many of you have your trees up already? You strung your lights. You did all of those things. Okay. Getting ready. So as I was saying, here we are, the first Sunday in Advent. It's hard to believe. Yet in the Gospel today, you heard the story of the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, which kind of seems out of place, right? After all, this is Christmas now that we're looking forward to. This isn't the time of his entrance into Jerusalem, which leads to his ultimate death and his resurrection. So you may be thinking, come on, Advent's all about us preparing for Christmas, leading up to the birth of Christ. Why do we have this Palm Sunday reading here, the first Sunday of Advent? And while a remark like this is certainly true, and it is out of place, it seems, on the church calendar, I'd like to say that there's more to it. The very fact that we have the words of Matthew 21 at the beginning of Advent, I think it's also a reminder for us that in Advent, just like in the season of Lent, it's a time of repentance. You may undoubtedly remember that the word Advent in its basic form means coming. So of course, for this time in the church, in our church year, this means that we are awaiting the coming of Christ. And we use this time to celebrate his birth, his coming into our dark world, the Creator child born in the manger. The Christian church has used December 5th to mark this day for many centuries.
And no doubt as we go through this time, this season, you'll hear many of the readings, the renderings from the prophet Isaiah. For example, as we foretell of his birth and the coming of Christ. And so I think for many of us, we think of this as a commemoration, a time that we remember, we reflect that indeed the Son of God did come into the world and was born into this world to save us. Today in the gospel, then, the setting is the week of before Passover. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem here riding on a donkey, not exactly fitting for a king, a ruler, the very Son of God, right? He's not riding on a horse. He's not adorned with all the necessary accessories. A king would of course, be wearing expensive robes of purple. The conquering king, who would come to avenge his people and bring justice. This king would no doubt be followed by a vast troop of soldiers as a further display of his military might. He's coming to pick a fight. He's coming to wage war. And can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation? This king was coming to set things straight. Contrast all that with what we see today in the gospel. And then sandwiched in the gospel reading, we find Matthew's quote of Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on the back of a beast of burden. There weren't any mounts for it, so clothes were strung over its back for him to sit upon. There's nothing said of a vast army accompanying him, no imperial guards, just this Jesus riding alone on this beast of burden. The people shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" Maybe some of them were saying this because they recognized Jesus from Scripture. For some, this may have been reminiscent of Solomon, who rode on a donkey, David's son. Maybe some of them were doing it just to go along with the crowd. And then maybe some of them were doing it out of mockery. I suppose that none of that is really important here, as the point is that the Son of God is coming into the world to be born in human flesh, in order that he could die and rise again, and in so doing to free you and I from our sins, of which we cannot free ourselves. This one riding on the donkey is the same one that took on human flesh like you and I, humiliating himself, subordinating himself to his own creation. The same Son of the Father of which John says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He was born of this virgin in a lowly manger to parents of low estate in the tiny town of Bethlehem. The same Messiah born into the world in this way is the same one riding on the donkey to his eventual brutal torture and death upon a cross. The ultimate and total humiliation of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he did this because he loves you and me. It's really that simple. We shouldn't be surprised then that this is what our King looks like, for it is how he comes to us. It could have been no other way. Scriptures long ago foretold of this humble state in which he would come. And nowhere in Scriptures do we see images of Christ that show anything other than total and utter humility. In the Psalms, we find some that were known as songs of ascent, These were prayers that were said or sung as they were ascending to the temple to offer there their sacrifices unto God. We hear these same words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," in Psalm 118, for example. And how fitting then these words of praise were being sung, as here today the perfect sacrifice is about to be offered from the Father to save us from our sins, and will be going to his slaughter. He comes to us. It's not the other way around. He came down to us in our sin, in our lowly estate, to bring us his salvation, his comfort. Upon himself, he took our judgment, the judgment of death and separation from God that you and I deserve. He was judged by the Father so that you and I, through him, would know peace, the peace which the world cannot comprehend. He came among us so that through him we might have eternal life. He comes to us as this child in human flesh so that, again, ultimately, riding on this donkey into Jerusalem, for it is there that he lays down his life for you and I. We cannot have this anticipation, the celebration of his birth, without talking about the cross, for this was what he was born to do. In our time, the time of the church, we have so much more of the story. What I mean is that you and I have the Holy Scriptures that are witness to his birth, ministry, his death, and resurrection. We know that he died for our sins and that he will come again as he promised. We believe these words to be true as we have been enlightened and called by his Holy Spirit. We await now his second advent, his second coming. We long for it. But in the meantime, the now, the not yet, he comes to us in here in his baptism, in his word, and in his very body and blood. These sacraments aren't empty rituals, as some would think. And no, for those of us that believe, he has come to save us and to continue to nourish us with himself, to sustain us as we live out our days here in this fallen world. God has given us the faith to cling to the risen Savior through these gifts, even though we cannot see with our sin-laden eyes. We pray, thy kingdom come, so that he would continue to strengthen us and dwell among us. Our faith continues to cling to the promises of God. So even though it seems strange today that we began with this gospel, it makes it plain for us that this is the Savior of whom we celebrate his coming. Riding on this donkey to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world is the reason for which he was born, the Christ of whom was foretold in Scripture. Take heart and trust in his promises for you. Receive his gifts he has here for you with joy and gladness. For this same one will return someday and stand upon this earth. And should we die before that great and glorious day comes, we know that we will then, along with everyone else, see our Savior face to face, the humble servant that came for us riding on the donkey. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.